Is the singularity near?
The military-industrial complex.
The truth is out there.
The seven mountains of the influencers of culture.
Be as gods, you know, catapult the propaganda.
From a mostly secure, undisclosed split-level location in a cul-de-sac somewhere in the heartland of America, this is A View from the Bunker. Now, here's Derek Gilbert.
I wish I had thought of this, but I heard the other day someone say that we are living in times that the apostles would have given anything to be a part of. Welcome to A View from the Bunker. I'm Derek Gilbert, and our guest today has written a book that is perfect for these times. And we just imagine while we're having this conversation that Paul, Peter, John, and the rest are kind of leaning over the rails in heaven, just kind of cheering us on as we approach the end times. He is a pastor. He is an author. He's also a radio host, the host of Freedom Friday on 1330 AM WEBY, the Oval Office of Gulf Coast Talk Radio, Freedom Friday. He's the author of some best-selling books, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, Be Thou Prepared, and his new bestseller, just out already at number one in Christian Prophecy on Amazon.com, When the Lion Roars, Understanding the Implications of Ancient Prophecies for Our Time. It is our honor to welcome Pastor Carl Gallups to the program. Carl, good to see you. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, Derek. The honor is mine. Thank you for having me.
No. These are interesting times in which we live. As we look at the news each day, it's easy to conclude that the world has gone mad, but these are things that God prophesied, that we were told these things would come.
Yeah. One of the things that I tell people is, look, you know, people say the world is falling apart. And I say, well, actually, it's all coming together. You know, and you're right. You know, you open the show by talking about Peter and Paul and those guys saying that, oh, they would give anything to see these things. Well, of course, Paul did see these things. He was taken up into paradise, into third heaven. He said he saw the future. He saw the Antichrist. You know, he saw the days of deception and apostasy. He saw the rapture. He talked about, you know, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. He saw the return of the Lord, you know, with what body shall they come? And he described all of that. But of course, he also said there was much that he was not allowed to share. But, you know, I remember Peter opening his books by talking about the prophecies of old. And then in his day, because they did see the coming of Christ, the first coming of Jesus, you know, he said, we now have the prophets made more sure, more certain, because we have seen the glory of the Father. And then he said, but of course, the prophets of old longed to look into these things.
Yeah,
and so you're right. I mean, the people of the first century church longed to look into the days that we are now living. Israel has returned. Jerusalem belongs to Israel. The Middle East is imploding and technology to mark everybody on the planet. And all of these things that were talked about and preached in the first church 2,000 years ago are now either happening or are possible in our lifetime and only our lifetime.
Yeah, I wish I had thought of that analogy, that mental picture of the apostles and prophets kind of leaning over the rails of heaven and looking down on the earth. But it does kind of put everything into its proper context. We as Christians need to be thinking about it that way and realizing that our days, are the time that we have to work before Jesus' return is growing short. And that while we have the time, while the sun is still shining, we need to be out there and preaching the gospel and getting as many people from off the battlefield, the wounded off the battlefield. We're all behind enemy lines, but we just need to hold the ground until Christ returns. Well, we'll talk about this, the implications of ancient prophecies. You mentioned the return of Israel to the land. Now, I was born in 62, so Israel as a nation had been a fact for almost 15 years by the time I was born. But there are a lot of people around today, my mother, for example, who, you know, that Israel was not a thing when she was born. There are a lot of people on this earth who were around to see when Israel was officially declared a nation. But most younger people, for them, it's just been sort of a given.
Yeah.
What for them, especially younger people like my daughter's age and younger, why is it so significant that Israel's back in the land and Jerusalem is back in Israel's possession?
Yeah, thank you. Well, and there's a balance to what you just said. I mean, everything you said is absolutely correct. The balance to it is this, but Israel, as of our speaking right now, has only been a nation again for less than 70 years.
Right.
So it is within our historical lifetime, and we are the first generation. Now, some of us were born in the midst of that generation. I was born in 55, so I was born a little before you, but still, I wasn't there when it was reborn, but it had just been reborn, 6 or 7, 8 years, you know, by the time it gets to going, when I came along. And then, of course, you were born and your daughter. But we're all, me, you, your daughter, all three of us are have been born into that generation, that historical generation that saw the return of Israel. And it has been there less than one generation.
Right.
I mean, it's still a very new phenomena, even though, you know, the children that are born now will see it and say, well, it's always been here. No, no, it hasn't. For 2,500 years, there was no Israel until just less than a generation ago, it burst forth back on the scene. And it is now the bone of contention geopolitically throughout the world. Mm-hmm. And of course, it is the center focus, the hotspot center focus of the Middle East to this day.
And a lot of young people don't understand why that is so. And by the way, I should mention that during our lifetimes, the existence of the survival of Israel was not a sure thing. The wars in 67 and 73, it could very easily have gone, but for the hand of God, it could have gone the other way.
Yes.
Israel is in a neighborhood where all of its neighbors are hostile.
Yes.
And young people, again, may not understand why Israel is there. And I think this is why we see elements within the Christian church that are taking part in this BDS movement, boycott, divest, and I forget what the S is, to basically try to isolate Israel.
The S stands for sanction.
Sanction, right. Okay, to try to isolate Israel. In fact, President Obama, just this week as we record this, took the opportunity of his last speech as president before the United Nations to say that Israel cannot continue occupying Palestinian land.
There is no such thing as Palestinian land. It's just unbelievable. I write about a lot of that in my book. Mm-hmm. Of course, all of that has been written and spoken to and preached to long before this book came out. But what makes this book different, I think, and the people that have read it, even people who are writers of prophecy material, have said that this book right now is like no other book of its kind on the market, because what it does, your daughter, for example, she would devour this book because it's about her. It's about her lifetime. It's about now. The things that I wrote about a few months ago, well, I've been writing it for a year, but a few months ago I had to turn it into the publisher. And I said in the book, listen, I think within a couple of years we'll see this thing happen and this thing happen. Well, before the book was published, they've already happened. So, I mean, it's happening at lightning speed. It's coming like a flood, but it all revolves around the timepiece, the start watch of Israel being reborn, which is the center prophetic timepiece for our epoch of prophecy. And I tell people, look, we're living in the most profoundly prophetic time since the first coming of Jesus Christ himself. And prophecy is coming down to the point. You know, I think we've talked about this before. I gave the illustration of, you know, way back here in the V, you know, the prophecies are proclaimed thousands of years ago. But then as time goes on and the rise and fall of nations and geopolitical happenings, it narrows and narrows and narrows. When it gets down here in the neck, everything starts happening quickly. I mean, Israel's born. Okay, that's great. 2,500 years, way back here, it was said that would happen. Now it's down in here. Israel's reborn. A few years later, boom, they own Jerusalem. A few years later, they're attacked again and survive. And then it keeps coming down, till now we had Gulf War, then 9/11, then Iraq and Afghanistan, then Arab Spring, then ISIS, then collapsing of national borders, then Russia shows up in Syria, Turkey becomes Islamic Caliphate, China shows up with Russia unites with Iran. I mean, it's just rolling like a flood. And technology has boomed, transhumanism. You guys do so much work on that. Genetic modification, CRISPR-Cas9. I mean, that's in the headlines of mainstream media, not just, you know, Christian conspiracy websites. It's mainstream media.
Yeah.
The United Nations is now bragging that by the year 2030, they will have, these are their words, and it's all documented in my book, every man, woman, boy, and girl marked for the purpose of security and peace.
Right.
Those words come right out of the Bible.
Yeah.
The marking of everybody on the planet for the purpose of fooling people into believing they'll get peace and security. Those words come out of Daniel and Revelation, and they are in the United Nations 2030 agenda documents with two major tech companies that have aligned themselves with the United Nations to pull this off. That's less than 13 years from now, Derek.
It is incredible. It, as you say, it's coming into the V. It's like when a wave comes into a bay that comes to a point, like, you know, the Bay of Fundy is one where the waves just keep stacking up higher and higher and moving faster and faster because they've got less room to maneuver.
Right.
And it's almost that there's a spiritual, not as almost, it is, there's a spiritual force that is basically pushing world events into this funnel that is yes. ultimately going to culminate at a point.
What you
mentioned a number of the geopolitical things that are happening that are just over the last couple of years have transformed the Middle East.
Yeah.
And one of the things that keeps boggling my mind as I talk about this 4 or 5 days a week on Skywatch TV is, you know, what is the United States doing in the Middle East, where it appears in Syria and Iraq, we are backing both sides, multiple sides of a civil war, various groups that are shooting at each other, shooting at us, shooting at the Russians, with Russia there, China there now, as you mentioned, Iran being part of this equation. With every confrontation between a couple of rebel groups, there is the potential for a shooting war between the United States and one of the other world powers, China or Russia.
Yes.
How is this a part of fulfilling end times prophecy?
Well, I think it's absolutely central. It's the hub of the wheel. Israel's in that hub,
right?
But what's happening, the geopolitical happenings of the Middle East are all either very directly or indirectly, but yet contextually applicable to biblical prophecies that were given thousands of years ago. The alliance between Magog and Persia. Iran was known as Persia until the middle 1930s.
Right.
There's been debate among scholars, who is Magog? Is it Russia? Is it Turkey? Is it Turkey and Russia? Is it the Stan states? I think yes, 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 and yes. They all trace their heritage and their tribal roots back to Turkey. That's where Noah's Ark came to rest in Ararat.
Right.
Turkey's the center of the rebirth of everything on the earth.
That's right.
And so, sure, they're all related. The Chinese are related to the Turkic people. I've done a lot of research on that. That's in my book, by the way. So this is, it's central to biblical prophecy. I think immediately of Ezekiel 38 that gives us
sure.
a list of tribal names that correspond to modern day nations that after Israel returns, after there's a resurrected Israel and it's living secure in the land and, you know, and is strong. And Israel is. My book documents that in some military sites, they're listed as the third largest nuclear superpower in the world. Now, they work with nuclear ambiguity, so they don't
right.
really tell people. But the best estimates among people who are in the know say that, hey, they're just behind Russia and the United States. That's it. Well, that makes them the largest superpower in the Middle East.
In the Middle East, right.
So that's huge. And then Russia shows up in Syria. How about the prophecies about the ruin of Damascus and
mm-hmm.
Syria in the last days? And so Russia interjects itself in this civil war. You're right. And the United States, which is part of NATO, Turkey shoots down a Russian warplane not long after Russia's there. But now Turkey and Russia are making nice. Turkey's going fully Islamic. Russia is not an Islamic nation, but Islam is the second most populous religion in their nation, and it is an official state religion.
Hmm.
So even though it's not known as an Islamic country, it is highly influenced by Islam, which is one reason why they're in compact with Iran. And there are other reasons as well.
Mm-hmm.
There are resources and nuclear agreements and all of that, and protection, border protection, and even some arrangements, protection against radical Islam infiltrating into Russia. But the bottom line is, the Bible said these things would happen, that these regions of the world would begin to unite and would just transliterate them into the modern nations of Turkey and Russia and Iraq and Iran and Syria and Lebanon and Jordan and you know, Saudi Arabia. I mean, all of those. And that's what's happening. It's in the headlines of the news every day. And Derek, so much of the church is oblivious to it.
Yeah.
Pastors aren't preaching it. I don't know if they're afraid of it or they just don't know it. That's another reason I wrote this book. It's written for pastors not to be afraid of prophecy, You know, you don't have to take a specific eschatological scheme, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. I don't worry about that. I just say, look, here's what the Bible says is going to happen. Israel, the alignment of the nations, technology explosions, all the different things that tie into that. And then here's what's happening. Here's what mainstream media is talking about. Again, not conspiracy theory websites, mainstream media. New York Times, for example, I have in my book, one of their headlines just a year and a half ago, Christianity is being eradicated in the Middle East.
Yeah.
That's New York Times. Another New York Times article from 2 years ago, ISIS was born from the Gulf War. What?
Yeah.
Well, they're right. I've been writing about that ever since the Gulf War, that these things were going to happen. I was laughed at, mocked, scoffed. Now the New York Times has a headline verifying what I've been saying for the last 15 years. So, I mean, it's coming like a flood. Mm-hmm. And those of us that have been watching this and speaking to it, I mean, I don't mind being mocked and scoffed, but you guys have, I have, because we dare to take the Word of God and compare it to what's happening and saying, you know what? There's only one place in the whole world. It's not in the Quran. It's not in the Hindu Vedas. It's not in the teachings of Buddha. It's not, it's not in the horoscope. It's not in the writings of Nostradamus. But the Word of God prophesied and predicted the return of Israel, the return of Jerusalem, the alignment of nations, the rise of Islam. Although the word Islam is not in there, you can certainly see the coalition of those Islamic nations that have this spiritual demonic realm to them that come against Israel in the last day. And the rise of technologies. Think about Daniel in Revelation talking about the whole world will take a mark. The whole world will see the beast. The whole world will be duped. They will see him at once. He will call down signs and wonders and fire from the heaven. I mean, they were writing about technology that was science fiction to them, mm-hmm. but is absolute reality to us right now.
Yeah, it is. I don't think a coincidence that Ezekiel 38, Psalm 83, if you accept the premise that that is yes. prophetic, that all of the nations mentioned in those two coalitions, Psalm 83 and Ezekiel 38, are right now, except maybe for Magog, if you accept that Magog is Russia, predominantly Muslim nations.
Right.
And interestingly, because I wanted to get to the transhumanism aspect, because this is, as you say, something that Sharon and I, and Tom especially, Thomas was really early on this bandwagon years ago,
are mentioned in this book. Your work and your film is in this book, because that's powerful stuff you guys have done.
Quite an honor. And, all credit to Tom Horn, because he saw this way before we did. When we try to talk about this with pastors who are intelligent, scholarly men, you mention the word transhumanism and they've never heard the word before. And then trying to see that in Bible prophecy, possibly with the exception of the mark of the beast, they have difficulty doing it. So where do you see the Bible talking about, except maybe for the mark, other than the mark, where would you see transhumanism prophesied in the Bible?
Yeah. And listen, everything you said is correct, which is another reason I wrote the book. And that's why this book is a little unique. It's not your typical prophecy book that demands an eschatological scheme. And here's the maps and the charts and the graphs. I don't do that. I just say the Bible says Israel will return. Boom. It's there. The Bible says Russia and Iran will make a compact. Boom. That's happened. The Bible says Turkey's going to implode. Boom. That's happened. The Bible says, now let's get to this. I don't go to a specific verse and say, there is transhumanism. However, the Bible speaks of freaky things happening in the last days, mm-hmm. and that there's going to be some kind of a perversion of humanity in so many ways. Truth is thrown to the ground. The whole world is deceived. And then you've got this beast that's embodied by Satan himself. Then Jesus himself said, look, it's going to be like the days of Noah. Well, you go back and read about the days of Noah, and apparently there was some freaky stuff going on there. And I know Genesis 6 is controversial, and there are two or three ways people interpret it. But, the sons of God come unto the daughters of men, and, right. And the giants and all of that. But something was happening, something very spiritual, something very strange. Now we've got genetic modification. And by the way, I know you guys have thought of this, but I just sit around with a cup of coffee and speak philosophically with my brothers in the Lord that love the Word of God. And I think, and I say to them, and a lot of them say, I've never thought of this before, but think of this, Derek, And you guys have probably thought of this, but think of it. So if there was a worldwide flood, and of course I believe there was,
mm-hmm.
and if everything was, for the most part, I mean, for all intents and purposes, wiped out, and if they had reached, according to the Word of God, every conceivable evil of that day, and whatever was their heart's desire, the intent of their mind, they were able to pull it off, how do we know what technology they had, what knowledge they had?
Sure.
It's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone. You know? So we don't really know the horrendous depths of evil that were being perpetrated. And it might not have been with men in white suits with test tubes and laboratories with electric lights and all of that. But listen, the demonic realm, the supernatural realm has always known about genetics.
Yes.
You see,
mm-hmm.
they've always known about humanity and life and creation. I mean, the sons of God rejoiced when God created, you know, the angelic realm was present at the creation. So there's something very spiritual and very demonic about this whole genetic engineering and transhumanism. Listen, I explained in my book, I'm not one of those guys, and I know that you and Tom Horn are not either. I'm not one of those guys that looks at the most recent technology and immediately says, oh, that's of the devil. I mean, listen, I love technology.
Oh, yeah.
Our cell phones would have been considered of the devil 30 years ago. People wouldn't have known. What? You can speak to the world on a little black box in your hand? That's got to be demonic, you know? Well, it's been used for demonic purposes, but it's also been used for the gospel and for powerful things and life-saving purposes. Listen, genetic engineering, if we lived in a benevolent world where people honored God and were grateful that he would give us knowledge of how we're built and how we can manipulate and alter some things to a certain degree to bring health and healing and you know, and food supplies and all that. I mean, I'm fine with that.
But
the problem is we live in a fallen world. And so just because we can do something doesn't mean we ought to do it. Just because we can and know how to reach in a womb and pull out a child and destroy it doesn't mean we should. Just because we can transhumanize ourselves and embed computer technology and genetic engineering to create superhuman races and practically half robot, half humans and bring robots to life, if you will, doesn't mean we should, and particularly in the fallen world in which we live. So I'm sorry I went so long.
But the bottom line,
the answer to your question is, what do I see? I think it's very prophetic. I think it ties right in to last days, marvels and wonders and signs and deception and spiritual invasion somehow, spiritual involvement. We're becoming, while the world would say we're becoming more than human, you and I would say we're becoming less than human.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. And you know, of course, Daniel prophesied that a day was coming when people rushed to and fro and knowledge would increase. And if we're not living in a day of increasing knowledge, I don't know, you know, how else you would describe it.
I've got two or three chapters on that with all kinds of documentation of the exponential growth of technology and when it started, where the experts think it's going, and even experts are terrified of it. Technology experts, I've got their quotes. They're freaking out because it's just happening so quickly. They can't. It's like toothpaste. They squeezed out of a tube and they can't get it back in.
Right, right. It's Pandora has opened the box and the evils are out. What I think is fascinating is looking back 100 years. E.W. Mullinger is probably best known for popularizing the gospel and the stars concept back in the late 19th century.
He
wrote a commentary on the. On the book of Revelation, and not all of his theology was, you know, right on.
Stellar.
Yeah, exactly. But Bullinger wrote in 1911 in his commentary on the book of Revelation, he had just read about Nikola Tesla, who had announced that he was working on developing an artificial brain. He was trying to develop the first computer. And Bullinger said, oh, this could be how Satan gives life to the image of the beast, a thinking machine. And we're now living in an age where we're on the verge of creating an autonomous artificial intelligence where this could potentially be. Bullinger saw this 100 years ago when, again, most people, you know, computer, that word was not even part of our lexicon.
That's right. So, and, you know, I write about this in my book. It's amazing. I mean, we're on the same track. So you mm-hmm. can see where this book is going. When the lion roars, the lion of prophecy is roaring, Derek. And things that are only available in our lifetime are now here. Things that were in the Bible that spoke of the end days have only happened in our lifetime. They're now here. Mm-hmm. That's why I said we are living the most profoundly prophetic times since the first coming of Jesus Christ. And listen, I've got to address this. I don't think I've ever addressed this publicly before. I don't think. I've addressed it from my pulpit. I talk to people alone over a cup of coffee about it. But I want to tell you this. You just said the word computer was not even in our language, wasn't even in our mind. I don't make a big deal out of the Bible code stuff too much. I mean, I've researched it. I've given talk speeches and messages on it. I've mm-hmm. written to it some. But I am very dear friends with a man from Israel, in Israel. He was an Israeli tour guide. He was an officer in the IDF for years. He's older than I am. He's been in the United States several times. He's been in my home. I've been into his home. The bottom, I'm not going to say his name, but here's the deal. Back when the Bible code stuff was going really big, mm-hmm. they were focusing in on Daniel, where Daniel is told, seal it up until the time of the end. And, you know, the Bible code takes the Hebrew text and it spaces them out, takes all of the any kind of punctuation or anything, just lines the letters out,
right.
and then uses what's called equidistance letter spacing to see if there's anything there. Well, in that verse, and I sat down with this Hebrew born and raised, Hebrew speaking. He speaks Hebrew, German, Spanish, and English proficiently, Hebrew being his native language. Mm-hmm. Sat down with him in my living room. I didn't tell him any background to it. I just showed him a Bible code text in Hebrew that just looks like a block of letters because
right.
there's, you know, they've run the words together, everything, so that the computer can just scan the letters.
Right.
You know how it works.
Right.
I showed him that text from Daniel and had running across the page in a three-dimensional way that only a computer could have found. In Hebrew, it's circled. The guy that did the research in his book, it's there. It's Hebrew and circled. So I don't read Hebrew like that. I know a lot about Hebrew, but so I sat him down. I didn't tell him anything. I just handed him that text. His name's Dan. I said, Dan, what does this say as it runs down the side? He looked at instantly. He said, it will be done with computers. And then he said, what is this? And I said, well, look at it and see if your eyes see. He looks at it. He says, this comes from the book of Daniel because he's a Hebrew. He knows the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And he reads it. He says, oh, my gosh. And then he looks down and he says, that's how we spell computer in the Hebrew language. But when Daniel was written, there was no such word.
Right.
He said, we've only just invented this word in the last 30 or 40 years.
Sure.
And he said, but it's here in the book of Daniel? Where did you get this? He said, what is this? And then he was thoroughly fascinated. And I was able to move that into a witnessing conversation about Jesus Christ being the supremacy. But,
right, right.
But I just wanted to bring that up because you're right. This is all new to us, but what if it wasn't new to God?
Right, right. That's one of the fascinating things. I've got a friend named Richard Shaw who works with L.A. Marzulli on his investigations. But Richard, on his own, has become fascinated with the Torah codes, and he's working yes. with a number of rabbis yes. in Jerusalem,
yes.
ultra-Orthodox rabbis who are researching the codes. And I understand the objections to it. I also know some scholars who look at this and say, you know, there was no one text that everybody drew from. There are some variants in spellings and things, you know, throughout the scriptures that don't affect the meaning of the scriptures, don't affect doctrine at all, but not all of the texts are exactly the same. So,
yes.
Okay, I get that. I still don't understand how, by taking these equidistant letter sequences, anything that makes any sense should show up.
And
to find that that there are things that are in there that relate to the times in which we live,
yes.
is it beyond God's ability to do it? Certainly
not.
Does it mean that He did do it? No, not necessarily.
Right.
But in the case of my friend, I know what he's trying to do is he's trying to understand it for one thing because it's fascinating.
Yes.
But it is also, as with the case of you and Dan, I think I know who you're talking about, an opportunity to broach the subject of Jesus Christ.
Well, right. And you and I are on the same page on that. Yeah. And I want your audience to know I'm not way off into that and thinking that this is the answer to everything.
This is how we're going to tell the future. Right. Absolutely not.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, no. Don't use it as a crystal ball all that. No. I just know that when it was first presented, it was fascinating. And I wanted to be able to speak intelligently to it. So I kind of really studied it, immersed myself to see if there's anything to it. And I arrived at the same conclusion that you just spoke. However, responding to what you said a moment ago about the word computer, what hasn't even been in our language, but now it is the most central aspect of our language and our life and our daily activity. You and I are doing this right now over computer.
Exactly. This is how we'll distribute the message, right?
Right. And what if, in the book of Daniel says, seal it up until the time of the end. What if encoded there, it says, and by the way, this will be done with computer. And by the way, this sentence will be found with a computer. Yeah. And then that generation will know it's in the last days.
Yeah.
Those are marvelous things to contemplate.
Yes. Amazing. By the way, you saw me, gesturing to somebody off the side here. That was Sharon coming in to say hello.
Okay, good.
One final question to leave you with, because you mentioned this earlier, and I think this is an interesting point, and I think an important point to touch on, and it deals with the setting of timelines. I think we as Christians, Bible students, prophecy scholars, everybody has different ideas and theories about how things are going to play out from here on, but sometimes we get so caught up in them that they become a source of division between us. How do we get ourselves off track by focusing too much on the timeline and not enough on just accepting that it is going to happen in some way? And really our job here is not to worry about the details, but just preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations.
Thank you. Listen, Derek, I could do an hour show on the question you just asked. That is a passion of mine. And I beg people in my books, even though I have a feeling how it might turn out, I always say, but look, I could be wrong and you could be wrong. Here's the thing. Scholars for hundreds of years, smarter than all of us put together, are divided over these issues in four or five different ways.
Yeah.
Now they can't all be right. And it could be that they're all wrong.
Yeah.
Or it could be that each of them has a little bit of truth. My point being, as it gets closer to the end, we'll see it better by and by. And I think we're already seeing things better by and by. There are people who have been teaching and preaching prophecy right now who are alive who never dreamed they would see China and Russia in the Middle East uniting with Turkey and Iran.
Yeah.
They thought that that would be something that might happen after the rapture or just before the rapture. And by the way, it might be just before the rapture right now. But we're watching things happen that are making people scratch their heads and say, oh my gosh, I better maybe rethink just my timeline, just a little bit, tweak it. And so I'd say, listen, let's don't part fellowship over this. Please, let's just understand. This is another reason I wrote this book. There's no eschatology required. Excuse me. There's no eschatological timeline that's required. What I say is the Bible said when Israel returned, things would start happening quickly. So now let's look at what the Bible said would happen and let's see if it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And let me catalog it and let me document it. And then you be the judge. Do you think the lion is roaring? I do think the lion is roaring. I'm not setting dates and times. I'm not wringing my hands. I'm not over-sensationalizing. The book is very sensational, but I didn't make it that way. Mm-hmm. It's just, here's what the Bible says. Here's what's happening. Here's what the New York Times and Newsweek and NPR and Fox News is saying. They don't even know the UN. They're using revelation language. I don't think they even know it. It's demonic. I think the spiritual realm knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
But this is how the book is written. It's like it's almost indisputable. Not everything I write, but I'm just saying the fact that the Bible says this will happen. The mainstream media says these things are happening, and listen to the language they're using to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
We're living in very prophetic times, regardless of one's timeline. And that's why I say to my brothers and sisters in the Lord, look, have your view, study, be passionate, be careful that you're that you measure your view against contextually applied scriptures. Please don't just buy somebody's book, mine or anybody's, that sets out a timeline and say, well, I like old Carl, so that's what I'm following. No, don't do that. But in the meantime, understand that only the Lord himself knows exactly how he's going to pull this off.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. One of the things I like to say about prophecy books and claims is that anyone who says that he's got the whole timeline figured out is definitely selling something.
Run the other way.
Yeah.
I agree. Thank you. I was going to say that, but I was trying to be nicer about it. But since you said it, if you find somebody that's got a book that says, I've got it, I understand it, here it is, and some of them go so far as to say, and if you don't believe it, you're not even saved, or don't believe it like this, you're not one of us. And I'm saying, oh my gosh, that's horrific. You know, what if you're wrong? I mean, if you're right, praise God, praise God. But what if you're wrong? Think of the millions you could be leading astray. So let's be very careful, brothers and sisters. Let's walk judiciously. Let's discern the times. Let's speak passionately about, look, the Bible said Israel would return. By gosh, it's there. I'm going to be passionate and dogmatic. Mm-hmm. There it is. Okay? So, you know, those kinds of things, yes. But when you start saying, no, it's got to happen in this order, and be careful. And as you said, sometimes they're pretty much just selling something.
Yeah. Carl Gallups is the author of the new book, When the Lion Roars, Understanding the Implications of Ancient Prophecies for Our Time. We'll put links in the show notes where you can find it, where you can find Carl's website, Carl's weekly program, and the podcast thereof. All of those will be in the show notes. Carl, thank you very much for your time. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you, Derek. God bless you, man. Thanks for having me.
Look at the show notes at vftb.net. That's vftb.net, or youtube.com/Derek Gilbert if you're watching this on the new YouTube channel. And there'll be a link to Carl's website as well as a place where you can buy the book, When the Lion Roars, if you are so inclined. We just confirmed yesterday that Carl's going to be in the Ozarks next week. We'll actually have time in his schedule to come up here and see us. So we'll get Carl into the studio at Skywatch TV, record a program for network broadcast in January, and probably at least one daily update next week. So you'll have an opportunity to see Carl on Skywatch TV, and we'll get a chance to see him face-to-face. Enjoyed getting to know and to meet Carl and appreciate his insight on things. And especially appreciate the insight into prophecy, where he can write a book about prophecies being fulfilled without being drawn into the argument so many of us fall victim to, being pulled into, you know, who's got it right, when odds are most of us, if not all of us, don't. So looking forward to seeing Carl face to face. He's a good man, and we appreciate his ministry and his passion for his ministry. Speaking of, just confirmed yesterday also something else. Next Friday, this will be October 21st, I've been invited to speak at the Ready Now Expo at Morningside Church in Blue Eye, Missouri. If that church name sounds familiar, it's because that's Jim Baker's church, and this will be broadcast on their live stream at ptlnetwork.com. That's ptlnetwork.com. 10 a.m. Central Time, from 10 to 11 Central Time. That's UTC minus 5? Maybe 6 now. Well, I forget. I know we're 6 hours behind Greenwich Mean, but I forget when we get into daylight savings during the summer months, what that means in terms of UTC. So if you're elsewhere around the world, if you're in the UK, it'll be 6 hours later. So 4 p.m. If you're in the UK, and later than that, if you're in Europe or in Australia, what, like 14 hours difference? I forget. Anyway, you'll find that the schedule, I'll post a note at my website, derekpgilbert.com, and also on the calendar of events at vftb.net. Talking about the preparedness, that's what the point of the Ready Now Expo is. And that's why Carl's coming into town, because he's talked about this. In fact, wrote a book last year on it, Be Thou Prepared, which we talked about on Skywatch TV. So I'll be talking about the political and economic reasons we should be prepared. Essentially, it'll be the same topic I covered in my article for Skywatch Magazine in September. So speaking of Skywatch Magazine, Skywatch TV Magazine, I just finished writing a piece for the November article. The theme and Sharon is the editor, so I've got, you know, really good insight as to what the editor is looking for, is family for the month. And we're getting contributions from the writers here. Josh Peck putting in an article, Tom Horn, of course, Christina Peck, and Allie Anderson, Sharon, of course, is writing a piece. And my article, I was, you know, as I tend to do, look for a different angle, a different approach. Was going to write an article about the research I'm doing into the cosmology of the ancient Near East and the iniquity of the Amorites, the sin of the Amorites. That's a phrase that comes from the discussion that God had with Abraham, or Abram at that point, when they were making a covenant, and God was promising to Abram that his descendants would inherit the land from the river of the Nile, which is a river of Egypt, rather, which is not the Nile. There's a little river that's been the traditional border between Israel and Egypt, and the Euphrates, basically the Levant. And God told Abram that his descendants would go to a land that was not their own and spend 400 years there as sojourners in a strange land. And they would come back in the fourth generation because the iniquity of the Amorites, the sin of the Amorites, is not yet complete. What does that mean? Well, I've been linking it to the curse of Canaan, that strange incident in Genesis chapter 9 where Ham sees his father's nakedness and he talks to his brothers, Shem and Japheth, about it. And they go in, you know, and cover him up walking backwards. That phrase, uncovering your father's nakedness, seeing your father's nakedness, that's a euphemism in the Old Testament for incest with your mother. Now, on retrospect, why I ever thought that that would be an appropriate topic for the November Skywatch TV, I have no idea. But our director of food service here at Skywatch TV, Christy, was talking to me, and she has got a real heart for the Lord, and just in conversation with her, because she's written a piece for the November magazine, which is heartfelt and wonderful about how all of us have a ministry right where we are, even when we don't think we do. Got me thinking that maybe I needed to rethink things a little bit. So anyway, I finished that up last night, polished it up today, and sent it over to Sharon, and it's powerful. It looks at the homecoming that we're going to have someday. You may have heard me talk about this. This was part of my presentation at the Rocky Mountain Prophecy Conference. When you conclude whatever comes prophetically, whatever the timeline has in store for us, it's going to conclude with Jesus bringing us back to God's holy mountain, reintroducing us to the family that we've been separated from for thousands of years. Ever since Adam and Eve got themselves kicked out of the garden, kicked off God's holy mountain, and kicked out of the divine council, which humanity was created to be a part of. Read Hebrews chapters 1 and 2. I'd go through it now, but I've already wept over this once today, and it's not my writing, believe me. When you look at the divine council concept and see how the story ends in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 specifically, that's powerful. We've got a lot to look forward to, and it is humbling. And I think on that note, I'm going to bypass any commentary on news of the day. The political race is getting so depressingly nasty that I don't even want to go there. I know in the flesh what I want to happen in November, but you know, and it's less than a month away now, but I need to remember, and I guess we all need to remember, that God's got this under control. Look, the gospel of Jesus Christ survived the Sanhedrin, the Roman Empire, successive waves of barbarians, the Huns and the Visigoths and the Vandals and the Burgundians and the Lombards and the, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Survived the Islamic, the Muslim invasions of the Middle Ages, beginning in the 7th century, and survived the Enlightenment. So I feel pretty good about the gospel's chances of surviving another Democratic presidency. Okay, we'll be all right. In fact, it may be the 2x4 to the head, the spiritual 2x4 to the head that the church in America needs to wake up and start preaching the gospel again, instead of tickling itching ears with the promise that following Jesus is a guaranteed path to health and wealth. Because it's not. Jesus warned us we would have tribulation in this life, but as Paul wrote, the trials that we're enduring now are of no consequence compared to the weight of glory that awaits us. We are joint heirs with Christ, and there's a day coming when, like the prodigal son, or a long-lost cousin at a family reunion, we're reintroduced to the family. Hebrews 2, verse 10. Look it up. Coming up on A View from the Bunker, I need to get back in gear and start inviting more guests on the program. I've got a couple of folks I know want to be on the program. We just don't have set times yet. Again, I've mentioned Trey Smith. He said he'd do it. I just need to confirm it because I'd like to have him back soon. Confirmed for October 30th, as has been customary, becoming kind of a tradition here on A View from the Bunker. Dr. Judd Burton joins us for the Halloween episode as we talk about things that go bump in the night. And he's got a new book on vampires that we'll discuss. So that's coming up in a couple of weeks. Our Bible study, the Gilbert House Fellowship. We're going through the book in the New Testament study now of Paul's letters to the Corinthians. Some great stuff in there regarding our own resurrections. Because there's a day coming where we will be restored, renewed, glorified bodies, because we won't be able to perceive the magnificence that is heaven, the holy mountain, until we are raised incorruptible. Yeah, some really great stuff. We do 2 hours of Bible study at gilberthouse.org every Sunday. They'll probably be posted later this week because, I'm going up to St. Louis to watch the Cubs game with our daughter. And I know the Cubs aren't playing the Cardinals, which is too bad because that would have been awesome again. But they do have televisions in St. Louis, contrary to what some of you folks on the coasts may think. St. Louis does have television. And so we'll be watching the Cubs game together, something that my dad would have loved to see, the Cubs making a run at the World Series. But, he last time he saw that was when he was 10 years old, and he's now up in heaven rooting for the Angels. Anyway, I'll be back on Sunday, and if get home early enough, we will have the Gilbert House Fellowship, but it'll be a little later than usual this week. But check it out at gilberthouse.org. And then on Monday, another episode in the ongoing audio series for my novel, The God Conspiracy. You can follow that at thegodconspiracy.tk. Got them set up to release every Monday until we're through the entire novel. Got several months to go yet. We're on episode 7 now, I believe. And it's only about a third of the way through. So you can get caught up at The God Conspiracy, thegodconspiracy.tk, or just subscribe to the YouTube channel, and you'll get it that way too, youtube.com/Derek Gilbert. Next week on Skywatch TV, it's an update on what's going on at Whispering Ponies Ranch. Some exciting things coming in 2017. It looks like we will start seeing regular groups of children with needs, which is the whole point of Whispering Ponies Ranch. And frankly, it's the whole point of Skywatch TV, to raise the funds so that Whispering Ponies Ranch and those therapy animals can be available to kids who need emotional and spiritual counseling and don't have funds to pay for it. That's the whole point of Whispering Ponies Ranch, to make those therapy animals and the facilities at Whispering Ponies Ranch available at no charge. So next week, Tom and Nita Horn on Skywatch TV talking about that and how you can be a part by sponsoring one of the therapy horses there. Don't miss it. We appreciate your time in taking a few moments to give us a rating and a review if you have a few more minutes at iTunes, Stitcher, wherever else you download the podcast. And of course, if you want to discuss the issues that we raise here on A View from the Bunker, log on to Facebook and check out the View from the Bunker page there. Facebook.com/viewfromthebunker. View from the Bunker is a production of Gilbert House, released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. The opening theme is by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is A View from the Bunker.